Welcome, everybody. We invite you to pull up a chair, kick off your shoes, and listen to some great sales stories with that pilgrim on the 405, Will Crist, as he wanders the world in search of the latest techniques and technologies that will let you blaze new trails in today's new world of sales. It all starts right now with your own personal guru and guide, Mr. Will Crist.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Talks for the 14th of July. The focus of my conversations over the past week have been on how company CEOs can do one or more of four things. One is increase revenue, costs. Three is improve employee morale, loyalty, and productivity. And four is how to keep the customers they have, how to keep them happy and on board. Now, it's amazing to me how many companies in Orange County can help CEOs do those four things. Now, lots of companies say they can help with one of these four items, but often their message is really just a sales message from the marketing department. Now, because they've heard so many things from so many different people, many CEOs are very leery about opening their doors to people who might really be able to help them. By cutting off these conversations, they're closing their doors to the very people who can help them do one of those four things and help them thrive in this new economy, in this new marketplace. Serious problem. When doors are closed, conversations stop. Without serious conversations, creative solutions that can propel a company into new markets, greater efficiency, and more productivity, they're not even on the table. Companies get siloed. CEOs get protected by walls of that are there to keep them from being distracted. But in trying to eliminate the distracting conversations, they're eliminating the very conversations that might be helping them. So strengthening businesses in Orange County means getting more conversations going. Real conversations happen when people trust each other. Seeking solutions that will be mutually beneficial means engaging in conversations that may or may not lead to a purchase order or a sale. Maybe not. Not today, maybe never. But these conversations can always lead to the truth. Now, in order to improve businesses in Orange County, generate more jobs, more revenue, and a stronger economy, we should consider ways to put CEOs in conversations where they can be heard, where they can be listened to and treated with respect. Now, there are a number of ways companies can improve their performance. The economy and the marketplace have changed. Responding to the changes will mean learning new ways to do business, trying new technologies, testing new processes, and engaging in conversations with new strategic partners and trusted advisors. My trips up and down the 405 are turning up folks who can help, and the quality of the solutions that they offer, the quality of the conversations that they're willing to have, the quality of the information they're willing to share, often for free, with CEOs and senior management is astounding. What I think is going to be really significant to business in Orange County is setting up places where small groups of CEOs can talk to people who would be vendors but might turn out to be significant strategic partners or trusted advisors. Now, one of the people I've been having a conversation on this week is with Synoptic. And at Synoptic, one of the people who knows in and out about the solutions and new technologies and new ways that companies in Orange County can save money, improve their productivity, and serve their customers better is Eric Adornes. And I want to bring Eric onto the show and talk a little bit about what Synoptic might be able to do to help CEOs. Eric, are you there?
I am, Will. How you doing?
Well, good. I'm so glad that you're able to take some time out of your busy day today and share with us some of the things that you've been discovering when you work with clients there at Synoptic. Tell us a little bit about what Synoptic does so people can place it in the environment.
Sure. My pleasure. Appreciate the opportunity. Well, Synoptic is a business systems and consulting firm, which can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But the reality is that we try to make technology simple for companies, looking at the, as you mentioned, the changing economic times, the challenges that companies are facing, and taking those real-world situations and helping them with solutions and technology to meet the business needs, specifically whether it's about cloud computing and the internet and what does that all mean to my business, how do I work more efficient and smarter with fewer people because I've had to downsize, what are my options, do I buy new servers, do I virtualize, all of those different technologies and buzzwords that are out there, we try to help them simplify and just make sense to the business executive who hopefully is able to focus on his or her core business and then not have to worry so much about the technical terms that are thrown around out there.
Well, do you find that there are significant numbers of CEOs who feel like they have to do it themselves, they have to understand the ins and outs, especially of
it seems like the smaller the company is, the more the CEO is directly involved in the technology and the business systems. And as the company grows, they find it obviously more difficult to stay in tune with that, and rightly so. We'd prefer that executives were able to focus on their core functionality and what they were coming to business for, whether it's making that widget or improving some other business process for their clients. So as we see that, we see a lot of executives, frankly, spending way too much time understanding the technology. And so we try to bring executives together in different scenarios or whether it's just us consulting with them, to try to help alleviate that pain of technology.
Like the pains of technology that you're finding today that are current in this marketplace, what kinds of issues should CEOs be sensitive to?
Well, I think obviously in a changing economy, you've got to work smarter, more efficient. The large capital outlay of purchasing business systems, finance applications, ERP solutions, some of those large expenditures that happened in the past when budgets and money flowed a lot more freely. Today, people are looking at how can I simply just pay for what I'm using today? How can I just use that application when and where I need it? Because they have maybe a smaller workforce, or they just simply don't have the capital to spend those monies and buy that application, or even in some cases replace the 10 or 20 or 30 servers that they've built over the past 4 or 5 or 10 years. Now they're looking at a replacement cost that is way more than they can afford. So those types of things, they still have the same business needs. They still have to deliver to their customers, but they have fewer resources to do that with, not only personnel resources, but capital and financial resources as well.
Well, in the typical company that you talk to where you're having these kind of conversations, do you usually find that you can save the company money?
Yeah, typically it is. It's at a point where, again, there's a reduction or there's an expenditure that they're expecting that they've got to make. And there's a couple of different scenarios. But if I'm looking at replacing my business systems, or I'm just not as efficient as I used to be because I've my business model has had to change because we've downsized or we're being flexible because the market is changing on me. That's where we really come in to help look at the process of in redefining the business systems that you have in place. Not making the big purchase of the outright capital cost, but going to the cloud, the internet, quote unquote, and using services on demand to reduce costs. Additionally, we take the view of, you know, if you're not the expert at it, let somebody that is deliver the best of breed. And of course, we believe, you know, from a technology standpoint, that we can deliver, whether it's outsourced IT or development or infrastructure, but even in areas that's not pertaining to our particular industry, it's maybe your HR, it's your payroll, and what can you do as a business and to outsource or to leverage other people that have the expertise so that you can focus on your widget.
So I'm curious about how you're finding places to have these conversations with CEOs that aren't sales conversations.
Sure. You know, I think the most interesting conversations that we've had has really been as we've reached out. We call them executive roundtables or executive technology roundtables. And it's funny, we talk about not wanting to have that executive really, you know, play such an integral part in the technology, a hands-on part that they did as they were smaller. But yet we want to bring them to a place where there's other executives and it's less of a sell, but what's happening in technology today? And so we're able to have customers sit across a table from one another and have open dialogues. And we do that with, you know, 5 to 8 executives at a time. And we don't want to do any more than that because the conversation really needs to be vibrant. It needs to be a dialogue, a discussion about the challenges that they're seeing with technology, what we see in the industry, and kind of what they're facing. And, of course, that may or may not turn into sales opportunities down the road, but it's really more of an education and a dialogue that we start and bring businesses together to support that. Again, just almost a referral in a sense from one customer to another to educate and hopefully stimulate their thinking around how they can do business differently.
Now talk to me about how you get people into that room.
Well, many times it's a referral because what we are doing, and it's a phone call, but we create relationships. For us, sales, how we do business is about the relationships and being partners with our customers. It's not about necessarily that I'm going to provide every service to you, but who can I connect you with? So by creating that type of atmosphere, by publishing information, you begin to have executives that are saying, you know, I went to that last month and I got a lot of information from that. It wasn't a sales pitch, it was informational. You know, and it's a long-term perspective as we build relationships with executives in Orange County and Southern California to start to create that kind of synergy. And of course, we go to, you know, trade shows and organizations where the type of people and the executives that we want to talk to are around and we can have those conversations. But again, it's not a sales pitch. It's more of a education. How can we connect you with somebody that can do business smarter, the breed, so to speak?
Well, it's. Do you find that there's reluctance from CEOs to come because they're concerned that it might be a sales pitch?
Maybe initially, but I think as we have. I just have to say that they have been so successful in the sense that the most successful ones and the easiest executives that come are the ones that hear a reference from another executive, you know, that just went to one or that knows the value that they got out of learning from an outside company that's willing to spend time with you free, not a seminar, but to sit down in a small, you know, conference room and just talk about the trends. And I don't have to, as an executive, talk to my IT guy who I don't know everything that he's saying. It's a language that I don't even speak, and I can go and talk to other executives and get some of these ideas. And we also will try to bring vendors of this or clients that are more of the same industry. So we might have a government piece where we're bringing in some government executives or healthcare, so that they have like-minded interests and they're hearing how technology directly impacts them and the other individuals in the room. And so when we pose it like that, I think there's less of a reluctance.
Mm-hmm. So in effect, your intention is to help Orange County businesses get stronger.
Yeah, I think after coming to a session with us, they feel like, you know, I've walked into the room, I've been educated. Will they receive a follow-up call? Sure. Is there anything that we can do to you? Is there anything following up that you'd like to see on another roundtable that we might be doing? Are there any issues? But we're always looking at what are the issues that they're facing. You know, technology's out there and it's great, but it's a tool. And if we're not trying to meet the business need, then we're missing the point. You know, you're not going to get a lot of results if you're not meeting that executive need and the issues that they're facing on a daily basis.
So in a real sense, you have moved from a place where a traditional salesperson is trying to get a PO or trying to make a sale to really listening to what the issues are for those companies and trying to offer them solutions. Am I getting that right?
Exactly. In fact, and of course we have sales individuals that are bringing us executives that we've made contact with and fallen up on people. But our company really looks at that executive relationship. And in fact, my job, we look at the value of what I do as I serve for many companies, where the closer I am to their executive board, the closer I am to the decision makers to understand what their business challenges are, then I'm adding value. And we know that turns into business because of the relationships. People don't buy products; they buy from people, and so we truly believe in that. And so, as we're talking to individuals out there, it's all about the relationships. And if we can help them do business today, even with somebody else that is a partner or somebody else that we know, sooner or later that business comes back around.
So what I'm hearing you say is that it's more than just about the relationship. It's really about that company, helping that company get stronger. And so what I hear is that you are becoming a trusted advisor for that CEO or that board or the people that you're talking with.
Yeah, in fact, you might even find that on my bio. As we project that is our key goal. You know, we are technology consultants, we're business systems consultants, but the more we can advise, you know, the products and the technology itself, they're becoming commoditized. And you have larger corporations moving into the mid-market, and you have the small mom-and-pop companies moving up into the mid-market, and there's a lot of competition out there for what we do. But what really can't be commoditized is that experience, the relationship, the trusted advisor. Dell, CDW, the larger companies are not going to be able to connect as well with those individual business owners and executives and really relate to what their needs are. So we find that we have a strategic advantage in that area, and so we focus on it.
Well, let me ask you some questions about in general, what are you finding are issues that you're being called upon to help CEOs with in companies in Orange County?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the issues are downsizing, business systems that have overrun their current size. How do we change effectively, quickly, an executive who believes that he still needs this capability that his enterprise, you know, resource planning system provided, but yet he is a quarter of the size that he used to be? And the maintenance and the effort that goes into managing that system is beyond his current team's capabilities and systems. So looking at reducing those operations and how do we get efficiencies, and maybe you have to be careful that you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but that you do throw some systems out and you step aside because you have to be able to move forward, and some of the older systems and processes might be holding you back. So it is it's partly an evaluation of existing technologies and what a company has, but even their business processes. And what are they doing? What's their culture doing that's tying them to the way they used to do business that may not be relevant to today, that may force them to change today? And then there is simply
company
the...
move.
Sorry.
No, what I was going to ask is if a company makes a choice to bring its systems down to fit their current headcount, if they're going from 200 to 25, will that lock them in? Will they have to go through this similar kind of restructuring when they get back up to 150 to 200?
That's an interesting question. One of the first of all, it is very difficult for those companies to make that change. I believe it's more difficult to shrink than it is to grow. As the company shrinks, they've got to remove these systems, get rid of this old culture to grow. In fact, the company today that's starting out in business, you hear about the cloud computing, is there really a necessity to buy a server? Is there a necessity to buy that second server? Or can they simply use a hosted email provider? You know, financials up in the cloud by a provider. And of course, you know, Synoptic as a company provides some of those services. But what we really look at is, again, this entry into the market from a technology standpoint is moving more and more towards what you might call utility computing, where you expect to pick up your phone and it should work. The industry, the technology computer industry, is trying to get to the point, slowly but surely, where you can turn on a device and wherever you're at, you have access to your business systems and your applications, and you're only paying for the usage that you need. And so it becomes very cost-effective for a person to go from, you know, 0 to 25 to 50 to 100 to 200 because they're just paying those incremental costs. And it actually makes it very efficient because they know exactly what that incremental increase is, as opposed to having to go out and realize that they've got to invest $500,000 for an enterprise resource program. So I think the growth, in fact, can be a lot easier nowadays with the technology and this trend than shrinking.
So then what I'm hearing is not only is this are you helping companies go from systems that would support 200 people to 25, you're also helping them become a lot more nimble as they move in the future.
Exactly. Our part of our philosophy is fixed cost. Knowing what your costs are on a per user, per device type of environment, so that you can grow or reduce if you need to. And the more systems that we can provide and put in place, that will help you do that. That'll help you be nimble. It's when you have the $500,000 ERP system and you're paying licensing for that and you're in a contract for 3 years, or you have something as simple as a telephone service and you've leased your telephone equipment and now you've got this $6,000 line that you're paying, $3,000 on your telephone lease, when some of those services could be hosted, and you could pay a per user fee, unlimited, you know, calls and long distance, and if you increase users, you simply pay that, or you can decrease as well. Limited contract and limited liabilities in some of those instances. So, definitely.
Have you been able to help companies revise some of those contracts, negotiate their way out of those?
Actually, we haven't. In fact, in many cases, again, part of what I'm called in many of the roles that I play is what we call a client CTO, and that's part of that outsourcing effort and value that we add. And so as I go in there to look at a customer, we'll work with the vendors. And in one case, I recall a company that had they were spending about $5,000 a month on telephone services, internet connections, connections between offices, because they were a multi-state, multi-location provider that actually had reduced from about 300 to 25 to 50. And we had to go in, talk with the vendors, be mindful and careful that the vendor wouldn't just shut off the service because they knew they weren't going to get paid if we didn't move forward. But that negotiation of recreating and adjusting their services so that they could reduce from $5,000 to $6,000 in monthly payments to just over $700 or $800 a month. Of course, I want to remain in business with them, but as companies are shrinking in that fashion, and sometimes rapidly, we've helped negotiate those rates reductions so that they could continue, you know, working with us and redirect those services in other areas of their business that were more important, pay for services that allowed them to refinance or redo their aging, you know, resource program and their ERP program. Because again, all of those costs are expensive, but if I can take $4,000, you know, from one area and put that into some other program that's going to help make their business more efficient, they can definitely use that. And we've been able to do that.
Well, that's great, Eric. I really appreciate your time. If there's a CEO out there who wanted to participate in either one of your workshops or wanted to talk to you directly, what should they do?
You know, of course, our website is up, synoptic.com, and I'm sure that information will be available. Any email at info@synoptic.com would be great. And, of course, my personal information and my email address, which could be provided as well. So any way of contacting us, all of our information is on the Internet, and we'd be more than happy to sit down. And as an introduction, again, coming to those executive roundtables is a great way. We have one coming up, I know, in August. And, again, we always limit them in seating because we want it to be a small discussion-oriented group. But there's one as often as we have people willing to come. So we look forward to any conversations that I can have.
Great. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time out to help, because this is all about helping Orange County businesses get stronger, be more efficient, increase revenue, reduce costs, and keep customers, employees happy. So thanks a lot, Eric, for being with us.
Thank you so much, Will. Appreciate it.
Well, there you have it. As we begin to move into this new marketplace and realize that it's more than just every individual fighting for their own revenue, their own business, and begin to recognize that it's a much more collaborative effort, that the whole notion of a community looking to help each other, to strengthen the business community, to help strengthen businesses, to create more jobs, to help create those opportunities for businesses to thrive in Orange County. A lot of the synergies that I find in talking to people in Orange County have to do with people to understand how they can accomplish the goals that they have in selling and marketing their products. Orange County has a very strong medical device community. And in talking to Larry Gorham, who we're going to have on the show next, we've discovered some very interesting ways of helping those medical device companies get their product introduced into hospitals and other therapeutic
missing from compared to today. So the but the business did take off. It was doing quite well in med schools and other classes around the country. And then they purchased a company that did something similar for the nursing industry, nursing profession. And that company was in California, here in Orange County. That company was named Trainix. So they, for reasons of climate, I suppose, they moved the whole operation to California, and it was called Medcom Trainix, and we still use that name from time to time today. But then, just to continue with the history to give you a better overview, the company still continued to flourish. They had a lot of domestic business as well as business overseas, and we're doing quite well. And I'm thinking it must have been in the late 80s or mid-80s, Baxter Travonol purchased the company. By that time, they had advanced to videotapes to a large extent, plus their slideshows and a few texts, but not many. It was still mostly film. They produced a series called I Am Joe that won an Emmy an Oscar, and the series is still mentioned from time to time. It was quite a production. It dealt with all the major organs of the body, and it was very well done. So anyway, Baxter Travonol purchased the company, and we're going to use it for their own internal needs. And a few years later, they sold it to a private investment group that owns it yet today. Through that period of time, as the technology advanced, the company needs. And a few years later, they sold it to a private investment group that owns it yet today. Through that period of time, as the technology advanced, the company went from. I joined the company about 1989, and the video cassettes were certainly the prevailing technology for film education at that point. So as it went forward, when I came in, we expanded the marketing and sales and marketing effort to include field sales activity. Up until that time, they had used almost all telephonic marketing, where they would establish relationships with schools and hospitals and the like, and they would call and have a sales conversation determining what, if anything, the hospital and school needed, and it was all, I call those hard copy products. Well, when I came on board, I brought in a sales vice president, and we put salespeople on the ground and started marketing heavily to drug companies and medical device companies and large chains that would start to buy in large quantities or have a license to do distribution in large quantities. So that was very successful, and up through the 90s, we had rapid growth in that area. We had a law that was passed for certified nursing assistants that required them to have certification. Up until that time, home care assistants had virtually no formal or required training, and the bill was passed, although it was a real boon to our company. So again, that was a videotape. We had a workbook along with that, and an expanding number of topics. It would start out with basic certification, then we went into in-service training in a variety of areas, and it still, to this day, remains a good product for us. But in the 90s, it was being introduced, and they had to fill the pipeline and of a need in the market, so it was really great. Well, I guess I can continue if you want me to with the history.
Well, what I'm hearing is that your products go into hospitals and other institutions, and this is to help train nurses So you have to use a lot of products to do that. Is that right?
Right. I should have mentioned that a little bit more. Nurses in many states, about 20 states, have to have continuing education in order to maintain their licensure. And so we provide that now in both hard copy form, and then we've evolved now that over half of our business is internet, and we provide that continuing education training over the internet, and have several ways we do that. But the primary way is that a hospital will license access to our. We have over 1,000 programs online, and in our library, and as such, I think represent probably the single largest producer and marketer of nursing education. If not, we're certainly in the top two. In any case, the hospital will license access to our library online. We have different catalogs they can access, operating room or other cross-training in the hospital. In any case, they license these products, and then the nurses can have access to them in the hospital or at home or, of course, any remote place. School would be slightly different. Schools don't, of course, have continuing education, but the students have the need to view materials that augment the lectures or the labs or whatever that the teachers present. So the teacher will provide a lecture and then say, now, additional material can be found such and such, and they will license access to a library, and the students then can use a password access, and the software that we have tracks the student or the nurse or the physician, tracks that usage of the course. They take a test at the end of the course, which is recorded, so the instructor or the human resources person in the hospital can know who's taking the test and make sure that they've all passed it. And the credit is given. They can also download a certificate if they would like. And even when there's no continuing education credit given, we can still offer a certificate of completion. Mm-hmm. So the internet has provided a very easy way for the nurses and the students to have access without having to do it on institutional time. That's the overview of our history and a slight glimpse of our application.
Well, tell me a little bit about how a medical device company, after they've got the FDA approval and now they're in the process of introducing their device to the marketplace, how would you be able to help them?
Well, In the 80s and 90s, the drug companies were really largely into providing educational material related to their drug or medical device. And so when a drug was introduced or marketed, it would help the sales rep if he brought by a program or programs that the physician could see, present to his staff or to himself, and also patient education material related to the malady that was related to the drug or the medical device. So these were added value products, they were called, and there was tons of money. It still is to some extent, but not compared to that period of time. It was much more common to find large contracts in drug companies and medical device companies that would help them market their materials. And when the internet became popular, then they provided that same activity to this customer base. Well, so we were in that marketplace and were very successful doing that. So if there was a set of companies introducing a product, and they are a medical device or a drug company were introducing a product, and if it was a small company, sometimes it's difficult to have a marketing department or group that's large enough to do the job, and so they have to figure out ways to get this their product information out to their market. Well, one way is to produce an educational material that's related to their product, and then we have already a distribution network for all the hospitals in the country have done business with us just about from one time or another. So we can take that product as long as it meets the criteria for that training product. As long as it meets the criteria for credentialing for continuing education, then we can provide that that CE credit. It has to meet some pretty rigorous requirements. However, it cannot be an infomercial or a commercial. It's got to be more related to the malady, and it can mention the product as long as it's in an array of similar products. So there's a requirement that has to be met. But nevertheless, the medical device company or the budding company of any kind related to healthcare can get the word out. And what we ordinarily do is the company pays for the production of the product, pays Medcom, and then we will market that educational material that results and provide royalty payments back to the medical device company. And so it's not a tremendous source of revenue, I don't think, but it does, as a primary motive, allow the one way for the information to get out. So, because we have lots of long-time customers that would be exposed to this material.
Right, so this is a kind of way of self-funding, helping to offset the costs of introducing a product to the marketplace.
Yes, yeah, it's been met many times. It's been very satisfactory, and we've had contracts that have gone on for 2 or 3 years. And as we distribute these products, and sometimes we do more than one educational product for such a company. What we do is. Let me think of an example. Well, the medical device company, say it has a new heart valve or something, then they would want to have some type of cardiac educational product produced. So we would produce that. What we do is we find a leading recognized consultant in the United States. We worked with many hospitals around the country, the Johns Hopkins and Stanford and this many prestigious hospitals. We find a consultant that would be respected, highly respected, and we get that consultant to write an outline for educational program, online or hard copy, and then we give it to our writers and editors, and they come up with a script or a text or a company with appropriate graphics and so forth. We give that back to the consultant to edit, make sure that we've captured what he or she wanted to say. And then if it's to be a film, a video, which is presented online or in DVD format, then we have our own studios in our building in Cyprus. And we get real actors out of central casting, and we have producers and cameramen, lighting people, and we produce about a 20-minute program is about the limit that we try to do, because beyond that it gets a little hard to keep the attention. But so we have the full-blown production capability as well as distribution.
So how would a medical device company find you? I mean, are you out soliciting them? They need to pick up the phone and call you?
Sorry?
I said, how would a medical device company find you, engage you, would they have to pick up the phone and call you, or call them?
Sure. Our website is Medcom Inc. Medcom Incorporated, MedcomInc.com, and the contact information is there. But we are located in Cyprus, and the number you would call 714-891-1443, and I was supposed to ask for Michael Zarate. He's our vice president of sales and marketing. We've been together for about 21 years there, and we were together before that, so we go way back. He's would be most interested in talking to anybody that would be interested in discussing a educational product around the healthcare device.
All right. So now, Larry, where do you see the industry going in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, that's always a good question, because we gather in our meeting room several times a year to try to we talk to doctors and nurses, which give us some insight, but we're more apt to get a meeting with people that would try to give us an insight into the technology. We can provide the content in any format, but the technology is moving so rapidly. For example, the iPad, as you may know, the Apple iPad that has apps on it now, we're just transferring some of our programs, educational programs, to be able to present to the iPads. As an indication, I guess logically, that students as well as practitioners will want to have educational information, in their pocket in the iPad, also other materials related to their practice. So we are looking at that as a new method of delivery. But I also expect there will be cataclysmic shifts in technology. Things occur so rapidly. We watch the technology that is released for other applications. The healthcare industry is usually about 2 years behind same technology in the rest of the world. So we have to watch and see what kids use, and see what kind of technology they're interested in. For the video games were the forerunner of the educational material, and so we watch and see what kind of technology they use. We try to go to technological shows and see what types of things are being introduced. So our challenge is to try to stay with the wave. We're not a big enough company to push the market, but we want to kind of catch the wave to see if there's any way we can be ready. We started working on our internet software, I guess over 10, 12 years ago. Thankfully, we got a good start, so we were ready when it finally became popular. So that's the type of challenge that we have. We have to really invite change. You can't just be willing to accept change. You've got to invite it in order to survive today. Because we've seen, 6-7 years ago, there were, there must have been 20 companies that were trying to do what we're doing today, and they almost all fell to the wayside. Now, there are boutique companies that have a few programs here and there, but there's not very many left that have, even 100, let alone 1,000 or so like we do. So we've really been blessed that we flourished. We've also had a new product line that's helped us during this downturn. We have hospitals. Hospitals recently started requiring representatives that come in to either assist the installation of their equipment or to sell it or whatnot. They have to, in order to go through the through the swinging doors into the hospital, they've got to pass a qualifying regimen of items. And one of them includes orientation and a few courses like patient confidentiality, bloodborne pathogen transfer, sometimes fire and safety, a few courses like that. And so we fortunately have become, I think, the leading provider of that kind of education. And we go through the four or five largest companies that do, it's called vendor clearance. And so this vendor clearance is the, it's been a real boon for us. We, without that, we would have had a much harder time the last 18 months. But now we've been able to grow because we've had that new product line.
Well, that's wonderful. And what I hear is that there is access to the people who will actually use medical devices or the pharmaceuticals that might be new to some of the marketing people at Orange County's medical device companies. But Larry, I really appreciate what you're taking your time to help businesses in Orange County market their material. I think this is a wonderful thing, and I congratulate you on guiding MedCom through what for some people has been a very difficult time, but what I'm understanding for you has been not as much growth, but you continue to grow through that difficult time in the economy.
Yes, I was going to say we've really been but things have really worked out. We have a great group of employees, about 40 altogether, counting inside and contracted employees, and we've got our average tenure of our company is about 12, 13 years. So we know each other pretty well, and we've worked together very good as a unit, and had a really good time during this period. So we are fortunate, and I appreciate you having me on your program.
Well, that's great. That's wonderful. Thank you very much, Larry.
Okay, talk to you, Chris.
Well, there we have a thriving company in Orange County that's able to help other companies in Orange County find access to the markets that are going to drive their products and to get them in front of not only decision makers, but get them in front of people actually be using their products as they become part of the mainstream of the marketplace. So that's what the Pilgrim is finding this week. Lots of places for companies, lots of synergies, lots of places for companies to use each other's expertise, experience, products and services to help strengthen Orange County businesses, strengthen our marketplace, and to increase the scope of services that we provide to people across the country. Appreciate you being with us this afternoon, and I look forward to talking to some of you along the 405 in the coming weeks, and look forward to talking with you again next week on Pilgrim Talks on the Pilgrim from the Pilgrim on the 405.
You've been listening to the one and only Will Crist, the official Pilgrim on the 405, only on octalkradio.net.